Let's go. Welcome into the Patriots podcast, week 11 edition. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We are here to recap the Patriots dominating victory over the Raiders. That wasn't even like close. It was borderline boring.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. So what am I talking about?
It was awesome. For other people, it may have been borderline boring that don't have any stake in this game.
Exactly. When you're just watching Deion Lewis do whatever he wants, Brady's untouched, standing back there, dropping dimes to Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Yep. We said it. We were waiting for Cooks come, like, huge coming out party, and it kind of seemed like this was it. Brady even referenced Cooks on Instagram and put him on his, like, a picture of Cooks on his thing. And so, I don't know what he said, but it was like, that's a little shout out to him for sure.
Yeah. Good stuff. All over the place. I mean, from the very get go, they were just unstoppable offensively. Raiders couldn't do shit offensively. And they just go out to a 30-0 lead. 30-0 ho hum against a team that, what were they like? Maybe the second favorite in the AFC coming into the season?
Yeah, literally.
They were everyone's darling.
This was a game that at the beginning of the season, everyone had circled on their calendar like, this is going to be big.
Yeah, and the Raiders are way healthier than the Patriots are.
Yeah, they're not really missing much.
They're missing almost nobody. We're obviously missing a couple guys, and it was just utter domination. I think it's got to start with the way that the Patriots prepared. We all heard about Mexico City, 7,200 feet in the air, and Jack Del Rio comes out and says, I think it's best for our team to prepare for this game in Oakland. Yeah. And Belichick's like, well, I think it's best for our team to prepare on top of a mountain.
Right. Literally. And
how do you think it worked out? I mean, it seemed like the Raiders were gassed in the first half.
Yeah.
Like their pass rush was essentially non-existent.
I mean, I don't know. It seemed like they had nothing going on the whole game. I mean, on either side of them, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they
had. You could have put anybody out there.
The only guy that played well for them was Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he did a decent game.
He was pretty good. He wasn't dominant, but he was pretty good, and there was just nothing else.
Crabtree only gave him 11 carries. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's hard to keep feeding the beast when you're down 30.
Yeah, I know.
But in what was supposed to be, I love how Derek Carr comes out after the game and goes, it felt like a neutral site. It's like, duh, dude, you were in fucking Mexico.
Yeah, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, everyone was like, there's probably more Raiders fans there, but it's still clearly a neutral site. How many of the people in the stands speak English?
Yeah, it's a different country, dude.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to have a home game in a different country. Oh, well, they gypped us out of a home game. Well, I don't know what to tell you about your owner's decisions with the stadiums.
Maybe you should have played a little fucking better.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know. There's almost like nothing to talk about on the field.
I mean, for me, I thought we were going to kill them, beat the crap out of this team. I was very confident going into this one. And everyone, there were a lot of people, I don't think so. The spread was only, I mean, I heard people got -7, but mostly it was -5 from what I saw.
Uh-huh.
Patriots, which isn't a huge spread. I mean, we've had some pretty big ones, and this wasn't that bad. But it just kind of like every other dominant Patriot season where everything just starts rolling in November. Like, we get to November, maybe we're figuring things out. We were 2-2 at the beginning of the season. Nobody knew what was going on. Everyone's like, oh, is the Patriots done? And as soon as November rolls around, we start beating the shit out of teams. And they don't even look like they belong in the same field as us.
Not even close. That was
Brady was almost perfect, if not perfect.
QBR was 95.5 out of 100.
Yeah. I mean, he had a 30 for 37, 339s and 3 touchdowns, and it could have been a few more touchdowns. The only negative was that we weren't converting as many field goals to touchdowns as we should have.
I suppose. We had 2 of 3 in the red zone. We took deep field goals where the altitude helped.
Shout out to Steven Gostkowski for a 62-yarder right before the half. That was awesome.
With room to spare, too.
Well, they're like 45 seconds, and everyone's like, oh, I think they're going to run. Romo's like, I think they're going to just run out the clock. That's probably what they do. And then Deion Lewis goes for like a 20 or 30-yard scamper, and they're like, well, that changes everything. Brady just rockets it up, and then do a 62-yarder. It was like, wow, there you go.
Yeah, our possession started with 21 seconds.
21. I'm sorry, I said, 21 seconds.
21 seconds, and you're like, well, fuck it. It's how weird is it to see the field goal like holder line up behind the 50-yard line?
I know.
It just weirds you out.
And that had room to go, too.
Yeah, he crushed it. And then he also hit a 51-yarder.
Yeah. I mean, high altitude helps, no doubt about it. But, I mean, that was definitely impressive.
Yeah, it helps big time.
What else you got? The running, the offensive line, like
offensive
you said,
line played incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible. David Andrews misses a game with an illness. Yep. You got Ted Karras in there at center, and you did not notice one bit.
Didn't skip a beat.
There weren't missed calls. It wasn't free rushers. It wasn't any of the things that you would expect out of he's not a rookie, but a first-time starter at center. Some guy who's making the calls for the entire line. Played perfectly. Very sound football. Marcus Cannon missing at right tackle. Adrian Waddle completely erased whoever was on the right side all game.
Well, it wasn't... Khalil Mack was on there, the right side.
He played mostly on the right side. He played a little bit against our left tackle as well.
So he only had one sack. I mean, that's reigning defensive MVP right there as a pass rusher. So, yeah, offensive line played great. The running game was good with it. Deion Lewis went 10 for 60. Rex Burkhead, he had a fumble, but 5 for 16. James White, 5 for 13. So they did decent there.
They just didn't need to run it.
They really didn't need to. I mean, you look at the receiving. Cooks had two bombs. Brady just unloaded. One was in stride for a touchdown. Another one he got like 50 yards on. I was like, all right.
The 50-yarder was more impressive. They just... Well, Cooks ran a really nice out and up. It was like a really stunted out on that double move, but the guy bit so freaking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Melanowafu or whatever his name was, the rookie or second-year guy. Yeah. And Cooks just sprung it wide open. Brady didn't miss him.
That was unbelievable.
Made it look too easy.
Yeah.
Amendola converted a bunch of third downs. Gronkowski was barely even targeted.
He barely needed to do anything. Deion Lewis had 4 for 28. And Dwayne Allen, 2 weeks in a row. Two catches for 24.
He's on pace for 3 catches next week. He's got one last week, 2 this week, 3 next week.
Hey, I love it. I mean, if that guy can make any kind of contribution, that's huge.
It's stunning. You bring in Martellus Bennett, and all of a sudden Dwayne Allen figures out, oh, I actually have to play football.
Yeah, I have hands.
Yeah. They don't work very well.
Rex Burkhead is funny. Rex Burkhead had a huge game last week. This week he was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, a little bit.
With the fumble. I guess it was really the fumble. Blow. And then Marty Bennett's in there, 3 for 15, just kind of moves the change.
Yeah, perfect. He played a good amount at the beginning of the game and then played a little bit at the end of the game. They're just carpet bombing him throughout. So you gotta think about him every so often. Oh shoot, they actually have another number one tight end on the field.
Yeah. So
fuck.
This offense, I know this defense isn't much. People thought this defense was gonna be more at the beginning of the year. I'm talking about Oakland Raiders.
They have a lot of names,
but for us to put 33 on them that easily and we don't even have Hogan, it's like, damn.
Yeah, we don't have multiple people offensively, missing two offensive linemen we just mentioned.
Yeah,
and true. Brady basically didn't play the fourth quarter. I know he played a fair amount of it, but he wasn't pushing it.
No, he was kind of done at that point.
They were in neutral in the fourth quarter. They didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it had all fallen apart. And defensively, you give up 8 points to a very good offense.
Total garbage time.
And it was total garbage time. I can't say very good offense, but a good, solid offense. I mean, some good young players, talent on, good offensive line, good running game, solid receivers, and they sucked.
They sucked. They couldn't really do much of anything.
And it makes you wonder if our defense is finally legit.
Do you know our defense is still 32nd in the NFL? We're still dead last. That's how bad it was at the beginning of the year. We're still dead last in yardage, but we're 12th in points.
12th in points is huge.
Yeah, it's insane.
With how bad we were the first 4 or 5 games, to be 12th in points is ridiculous.
That's why I hate when they say the worst defense in the NFL, because technically total defense is how they measure those things.
Right, but it should be points.
It should be points. Yards don't matter. Points do.
And yards never matter. Solid game from Stephon Gilmore. All the secondary, really. Malcolm Butler had a good game. McCourty, once again, had a really good game. Chung, I thought, played really well. He had a lot of tackles. So the whole secondary was really good. And then the front seven played good enough. Trey Flowers had a hell of a game. The biggest thing to me, I think, and I don't know if you noticed it, but Cassius Marsh really didn't play much. I don't know if that's because of an injury or not. He only played 2 snaps, and guess who was in over him? Was Marquise Flowers.
Marquise Flowers. There he
is. And I thought he played really well.
I thought he played well, too. He's like a specimen.
He's a big dude. He's like 6'3", 250.
He moves, too.
So you got this guy coming in here, and if he's – I mean, I don't really think Cassius Marsh is going to – if he's better than Cassius Marsh, that can make not a huge difference, but enough of a difference where it's like we're good.
Well, you are clearly not up to date, sir, because Cassius Marsh got cut today.
No.
Yes.
He really did?
Cassius
Marsh.
Knew,
I was waiting for it to happen.
Yep. Yeah, he got snipped today, and he was replaced by Eric Lee, a defensive end off the Bills practice squad.
Okay.
So at least we're not cutting the depth at defensive end anymore.
We're trying something different.
Yeah.
Love it. We're,
yeah, because I think it seems like they saw what you saw, which was Marquise Flowers is better than Cassius Marsh right now.
Yep.
So we'll give him that playing time, and then let's see if we can upgrade behind him.
It's just crazy that he played a lot.
Yeah, he did play a lot. And Trevor Riley also played a fair amount, especially in the second half.
Well, I'm talking about this season for Cassius Marsh.
Oh, Cassius Marsh played a lot. Yeah,
he played a lot.
A ton of snaps for us, especially when Dietrich Wise was on more of a snap count restriction. I think he also was a little banged up at the beginning of the year, too.
But he, you know, Dietrich's been playing a lot, too.
He's been playing more than half of the snaps now.
And he's doing good. He's a solid guy.
Yeah, his efficiency is way down, but that's going to happen when you play more snaps.
Right, absolutely. Wow, that's huge. So we waived him. That's great.
Yeah, moved on from Cassius Marsh. The other defensive ends were playing just fine on the edge. I like that David Harris is getting a lot of time. I think Alandon Roberts is really coming into his own in coverage now.
He's actually looking pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah. I never expected him to be a coverage player in any sense.
No, he looks like he's like leaner too.
You think?
A little bit. I don't know. He looks like he looks a little different out there. I don't know what it is. I can't put my eye on it. But and Van Noy too. So our lack of linebackers are starting to look decent. Good enough.
Good enough. Good enough is right.
I mean, you let up 8 points to a Denver offense that has thrown for 300 plus yards the past 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Raiders offense.
I'm sorry, Raiders. What did I say?
Denver. Denver has not thrown for that many yards.
No, I actually in a was long time. For some reason Denver did pop in my mind, but yeah. yeah, I mean it's a lot to build up. Jonathan Joseph, hell of a
Jonathan
name.
Jones. I have him written down here in all capital letters.
Yeah.
My boy was playing his heart out.
Hell of a game. Unbelievable.
He contests everything. He's so fast that he's able to catch up to anything. He undercuts stuff all the time. He's got active hands. He was the one that caused that interception that Harmon was able to come down with early in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a sick play.
Jonathan Jones is all over the place, and he's going to get beat at times in the same way that Malcolm Butler gets beat at times. I thought right. Butler played not his best game of the season, although other people disagreed with me. I think I read on that Pro Football Focus had this as his best game.
I thought he played good. Definitely after the Denver game, I thought this was a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. He was matched up with Amari Cooper for most of the day, and he came down with 3 catches for 28 yards. So bottom line is he must have played pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And across from Cooper was Crabtree, who had 6 catches for 51 yards, and he was primarily matched up against Gilmore, but he was targeted 11 times.
Yeah, so Gilmore did a very good job.
Gilmore did good. Listen to these Jonathan Jones stats. He allowed 37 passing yards on 10 targets.
It's unbelievable.
Less than 4 yards per attempt. It's insane.
It's unbelievable.
Good for fucking him.
That's great.
From an undrafted cornerback who's playing in the slot, should be overmatched at most times, and he's really competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, you can't argue with 8 points.
You can't
not argue with 8 points.
It's not even. I hate that shit because it's not even really 8 points.
It's not. I mean, it was really a shutout.
It was basically a shutout. Yeah. When did they score? Let me see how much time was left when they scored. I guess there was a fair amount of time left.
It was fourth quarter.
Yeah,
they were down by 30 or 33 at the time.
Yeah, it was 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, though. Brady was still in the game. So they couldn't have pulled that many people. Regardless, domination victory on the road, granted neutral site, but against a team that had playoff aspirations, and we might have just put the final nail in the coffin on their season.
I think so. I think they're kind of done.
They're 4-6.
4-6,
That whole division is falling apart, though. The Chiefs get embarrassed by the Giants. The fucking Giants beat the Chiefs.
I know,
Chiefs are down to 6-4 after starting 5-0. The Broncos are a mess. They fired their offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy. The Chargers are oddly the best team in that division right now. If I had to choose which team I don't want to play in that division, it's the Chargers.
That's stunning to think about.
And they're at 4-6 and in the thick of the playoff hunt because the AFC is dog shit.
It is. That's what I was going to wait to say. I mean, the AFC is terrible right now.
So bad. It's so
top
heavy.
You're going to have two teams, potentially two teams with like 8-8 records maybe getting in to the fucking for the wild cards.
Yeah, you're sitting here talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars being the third best team in the conference.
Yeah, and it's not even like close.
I'm serious.
Like there's, it's like literally. I know, like Kansas City is behind him with 6-4, but it's like then they've after that, bad. It's a cliff. There's no one even close. Everyone else looks terrible.
Yeah, well, the Chargers are a dark horse in my mind.
The Chargers, Tennessee Titans, but they really haven't looked good at times. Not Mariota the looks, you know, Baltimore is somehow 5-5.
Flacco is so bad.
No idea how. You know what? I'm going to be so pissed if they somehow get into the playoffs and all of a sudden he turns it on and it's like they start beating people in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would be afraid of that.
Pissed. And that's definitely likely because they have a pretty good defense too.
They have a very good defense and they really only beat shit teams. And there's a lot of shit teams to go around, but I mean they beat Green Bay with Brett Hundley, who threw three picks, I think. Like they beat the Browns a couple times a year. They're gonna beat the Bengals a couple times.
Yeah.
It's like it's a joke that they're able to. Well, you could say the same thing about the Patriots for the last 15 years, getting 6 wins a year off of the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins.
Yeah, but when they beat everybody else, too.
Yeah,
you know, for real.
Before we move on too far from this game, I just want to quickly mention Bill Belichick moves into third place all-time in coaching wins, passing Tom Landry. Tom Landry is a goddamn legend. Legend. That silhouette of him in that NFL Films footage while he's walking down the sideline with a fedora.
Yep.
Legendary. Guy had 20 consecutive winning seasons, 20 in a row.
Belichick's got to be almost there.
Belichick's at 16. And then if we win on Sunday, that clinches 17 this year. So at 271, third all time, he's on the Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches, hands down.
Easily.
There's not an argument to make against that.
But no, I think he's the best.
He's still way behind Don Shula, though.
Don Shula's like 100.
Yeah, I think Belichick needs to win like 13 games each season for the next 6 years to get up to Shula. He needs to win 13 games on average into his 70s.
Yeah.
That's how high that guy set that bar. Pretty damn good. I also want to mention this is the Patriots' 13th consecutive road win.
Yes.
Which is the second most all-time. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it to us?
I don't know who.
Are we number one?
I doubt it. No, it's the most in franchise history. It's the second most in NFL history.
That is okay. That is crazy. Yeah. 13 because last year we went 8-0.
Yeah. And we're undefeated so far this year. Pretty badass.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And now the Patriots find themselves 8-2, tied atop the AFC with the Steelers. The tiebreaker doesn't matter right now cuz they're going to play head to head and that's going to decide it in a couple weeks.
That's literally the game that I think everyone in the NFL has just been waiting for the past 2 or 3 weeks. All I've heard is, yo, let's see what happens when they go to, like, Pittsburgh. Everyone wants to judge Pittsburgh because people are, ESPN, all that stuff. They don't seem so sold on Pittsburgh. Every time it comes up, oh, they're killing it. Well, let's see what they do against the Patriots. Let's wait and see what they can do against the Patriots over and over.
I think you could say the same thing about the Patriots, especially defensively. Yeah. Well, this Patriots defense has really turned a corner. Well, let's see what they do once Le'Veon Bell gets a hold of them. Once they got to stare down Antonio Brown.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not as worried.
I'm pretty fucking worried about that. Le'Veon Bell is a star of the highest magnitude.
I think Brady is going to shred that defense.
He most likely will, and it's probably going to be Gronkowski as the beneficiary. It always is. Gronk is a Steeler nemesis.
He really is. He kills them. Plus, now with Bennett, and if Dwayne Allen can do anything, they can't cover a tight end. They're fucked. Yeah. We have three of them now.
Shazier should be the ultimate tight end coverage guy. I'm just saying he should be. I'm not saying he is. I haven't seen enough of them this year to know, but I know he's making some like serious Pro Bowl moves.
No, he's playing good. I'm just saying we should. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. We should.
You don't want to get ahead of ourselves?
Want to get ahead of ourselves.
You want to talk about the Dolphins? How about what the Dolphins did last week?
Lost up Tampa.
I think nobody told them that the bye week actually wasn't. Remember, this is supposed to be the first week of the season, and then they had a bye week in week 10.
Yeah.
And because of the hurricane, they moved it to this week, and Miami just didn't show up, really. The score wasn't that bad. 30-20. The Buccaneers were able to beat them. That's with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jay Cutler gets knocked out of the game with another concussion. Really unfortunate. But
what happened to Jameis again?
I think it's still his shoulder, right?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, good old Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic. Brings him a win.
Matt Moore might have played the best quarterback that we've seen out of the Dolphins so far this year, too.
Yeah.
I've been saying it since probably week 4 that Matt Moore should have been the move there.
Jay Cutler.
I was wrong about Jay Cutler.
But yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. They gave up a plethora of passing yards. 275, two touchdowns. Evans had a good game. The other guys, the ball was spread around a lot. Kenny Stills killed it. He had 180 yards and a touchdown for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry's doing good, but they just can't get anything else going. Their running game is, D. Williams killed it. 10 for 78. Damian Williams, that's pretty good.
Baby Damian. Yeah, they turn the ball over too much. When you lose two fumbles,
three
you
picks.
Throw three interceptions, you're just not going to win a game
no.
doing that. It's actually surprising the Buccaneers didn't win by more, but we've seen enough out of the Buccaneers this season to know they're not who we thought they were, to quote the late Dennis Green.
Yeah.
Actually, to invert his quote. Anyway, the Dolphins aren't special. They're not bad. They made the playoffs last year, and a lot of people thought that it was going to go a little bit further this year. Maybe they're going to be a bit better, especially with Devontae Parker coming on the outside, Kenny Stills having another year in the offense. Everyone knows what Jarvis Landry brings offensively. But the quarterback position has just been mayhem. Adam Gase has been a quarterback whisperer throughout the last couple of years, especially when he was a coordinator instead of a head coach. But it hasn't gone anywhere. They're 30th in the league in offense, 31st in points. They can't throw the ball at all. They can't run the ball at all. It's bad news offensively for them. And they should be better. They got all kinds of weapons. It's just the quarterback play comes in
and
blows it all up.
Bad.
Offensive line hasn't protected them that much, but it's not like Jay Cutler really buys time anyway.
I mean, they're 31st in points.
That's what I just said.
Scoring points, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, obviously.
Terrible.
Everyone knows how bad they've been offensively. Didn't they get shut out by, like, the Bills or something?
Probably.
I can't remember. Point is, this is the first time we're playing the Dolphins all season.
That's stupid.
Why did they backload so many divisional games? What do we got? Because five out of six of our last games.
The only thing I can think is that they were hoping that it was going to be competitive in the
what?
By the end, and then these games would mean something. And it was the complete opposite. These games mean next to nothing. We play the Dolphins, then we play the Bills, then we play the Steelers, then we play the Bills, then we play the Dolphins, or whatever order it goes in.
Yeah, and there's the Jets sprinkled in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Well, whatever.
And so, the thing that surprised me the most about this team is their defense. They have some names on that defense, and they're bad.
They're okay.
They're the 25th ranked defense.
In points, yeah.
In points. That's terrible. That's fucking awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good.
Middle of the road in yards. Real bad in points. I mean, you know, if they didn't have Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake and fucking Kiko Alonso and Rashad Jones and, you know, those are guys we all know. Ray Maliuga, Nate Allen. I mean, they have a bunch of people over there.
Yeah, they should be better than they are, that's for sure. And it makes makes you wonder how Vance Joseph got a head coaching gig after coaching these guys mediocrely last year. And they continue to be pretty mediocre. They bring in Lawrence Timmons to play linebacker. He's over the hill. They got Stephon Anthony behind him. He's a former first-round pick, total bust, basically. Bring in Andre Branch to play opposite Cameron Wake, finally filling the Olivier Vernon role. He's nothing special. They got Charles Harris behind him, who was a former early pick. And then it seems like the secondary leaves something to be desired. TJ McDonald, Rashad Jones at safety. Those guys are solid players. They're solid.
Mm-hmm.
But Xavien Howard, Tankersley, Alteron Verner, Bobby McCain, cornerbacks, I'm not sure that that's going to be able to cover many people.
Well, Verner was supposed to be good.
Yeah, Verner was good years ago when he was with the Buccaneers. I don't see this defense being much of a roadblock to what the Pats are trying to do offensively.
Oh, I mean, this isn't going to do anything. They've sucked all year.
Yeah, although I will say Cameron Wake shows up when the Patriots come to town.
Yeah, he likes playing us.
This game's in Foxborough, though. But yeah, Cameron Wake is a good player against us. Ndamukong Suh, he plays hard. Part of me wants to think, because he came out when he was a free agent, he was like, look, I told my agent, highest number, that's where I'm going. And part of you wants to think that he was like a take the money and run guy, but he plays hard all the time. That's why
he plays. Yeah. I mean,
that's
his
why
stats,
he gets in so much trouble for stepping on people, is because he cares.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 3.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, not a lot of tackles, but I mean, for an interior tackle, it's not bad.
He's a goddamn handful in there. So I would love for David Andrews to be healthy. Not that he's a really powerful center, but I prefer an experienced guy instead of a first time player out there. And yeah. Ted Karras, even though he played well. So maybe he gets healthy. I haven't really heard much about Cannon at right tackle, which is usually where Cameron Wake lines up at left defensive end. Mm-hmm. So at right tackle is definitely a spot that I really think that that's probably the only way this game turns is if Cameron Wake is unblockable.
Literally.
That's pretty much it. We're talking about Brady needing to turn the ball over twice in this game for the Dolphins to have a slight chance. And really, they're going to need at least three takeaways.
At least.
And the Patriots lead the NFL 5 turnovers so far this year. Half a turnover a game. Knock on wood, everyone. Here we go. I'm just fucking with you.
I'm going to do it. you hate sounding too overconfident, but it's just like, I don't think they're going to score.
The Dolphins?
The Dolphins might not even score.
What? Dude, no way. No way. They are 3 deep at wide receiver. I know Matt Moore is okay. Man. He is okay.
I would have said the same thing about David Carr.
Derek.
Sorry.
I know.
His brother.
He must be so fucking tired of that shit. Why couldn't you have named me like Igor or something that stands out that's Igor. Not that close to David?
How about James or John or Chris or anything without a D?
I was thinking something distinctive.
But Derek Carr, we kicked the shit out of them. They have their two receivers are as good as Miami's two receivers.
Yeah, definitely. Although Amari Cooper hasn't been playing well.
No, right. But talent-wise,
they're better.
Yeah, they're better.
They're better.
Running game, offensive line. I'd give it to fucking Oakland.
Oh, I would give it to Oakland, too.
So,
but I think that there are other factors, namely altitude. I think that team is going in the tank.
And the Miami Dolphins aren't going in the tank?
They're the definition of
going in the tank.
Okay.
They've been going in the tank all season. Somehow they're 4-6. If you told me they were 1-7 or 1-9, I would believe it.
Yeah. Look, Kenny Stills can get deep. He's going to be someone you got to keep an eye on. Jarvis Landry moves the chains, and Devontae Parker is a legitimate talent-wise, legitimate number one receiver. And sometimes he plays that way, and sometimes he doesn't. And it's just a matter of him having a hot day.
Yeah.
So they have weapons. They could make some things happen. Their offensive line isn't as bad as it has been in the past, although it is not a good unit.
Well, what's the forecast looking for like for Sunday? You talk about altitude.
Yeah,
these guys are from Miami.
Is it going to be cold?
40.
40? That's all right.
No, it's cold.
That is pretty cold for them. Well, we're obviously both very confident. Patriots haven't been that good at home this season. I will note that. Two losses at home already.
Mm-hmm.
But they have not been playing nearly this hot at home. Like, they're on a sweet streak right now where they nearly got 2 shutouts. They've been putting up 30-plus points like it's butter. And I got to think in this game, as I just said, I don't see the Dolphins really stopping them.
I think it continues. I don't see them stop. I mean, think about who's going to cover Brandon Cooks. Nobody.
I don't know.
Nobody.
Imagine Cooks,
what if Hogan comes back for this game?
He's not.
He's not coming back?
I don't think so.
Well, what if he did? They couldn't cover anybody.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to have a tough time. I think defensively they're going to have a really tough time. And I think the Pats will put up like 36.
36? Okay.
I think 36.
What's the full score?
I think the final score is going to be about 36-13.
I'll go 31-6.
Woo! Woo! Yeah, yeah. They, I was going to, Brandon Cooks. I wish he was more fluid.
He's really not that fluid for a quick guy. It's kind of funny.
At all. He's so small. Guy. I'm like, how can you not cut sharper than this? How can you not make more? Well, you watch Danny Amendola run routes.
It's pretty.
And he's hitting his spots, and he's setting every single step has a purpose in his route running. And you watch Brandon Cooks, and it's like, I'm going to motor as fast as I can this way, and then I'm going to go that way, and that's it. It's like there's no care taken to how he's moving. And I know I'm completely oversimplifying this. This is what the guy does professionally, and everyone says he has a great work ethic. I just wish that he was a little bit more flexible.
That's what it is. I'm not going to say he's not athletic, but I mean, you watch Deion Lewis with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, that guy is fluid.
Yeah. It's his lateral movement is severely lacking for a guy who's 5'10". How can you not move? I can understand Gronkowski not moving laterally well.
Yeah, but and he's got the speed. I guess that's his thing. You know, one thing I will notice too is James White. His production has calmed down a little bit. I think it's because Deion Lewis is kind of taking over that whole position.
So he's clearly the lead back.
Yeah,
And they like what Rex Burkhead brings in the running game. They like the balance that they're at least able to threaten the run a little more so than James White. But they also, we don't know everything. He might be dealing with, he might be banged up a little bit. They might be limiting his snap counts. And he was so good in the playoffs last year. And we know exactly what he can do.
Well, he was one of the reasons we were winning games the first 4 weeks.
Exactly. So they might be biding their time with him.
Which is great. Yeah, no, it's just awesome. I mean, you look around at all the weapons that the Patriots have. It's like, how do you want us to kill you?
Yeah.
Pick your poison. It's like Belichick has seen what he does against teams. He's like, you know what I do to teams? I go after their weaknesses. So what has Belichick done? He's like, well, offensively, we have the tight ends. We have a good offensive line. We have receivers and we have running backs. Take one away. I dare you. Choose wisely.
Choose wisely because I have a supercomputer playing quarterback and he knows exactly what you're doing before you do.
Literally. So look ahead at the games this week.
We didn't even really talk about that many games last week. The Bills, explain to me?
I've been waiting to talk about the Bills.
Why in the world Tyrod Taylor was playing fine?
Yeah, so fine. Funny.
What, he had like one or two bad games, maybe three?
So good.
And you bench him for a rookie who proceeds to throw how many? Five
picks.
Five interceptions. All in the first half? I think they were mostly in the first half. I mean, it's just, how could you fuck up worse? Sean McDermott had been doing such a good job for this team, completely turned around the attitude surrounding it, and then you give up on your quarterback to put in a rookie who farts in his mouth on his first start in the league.
You were 5-4.
You're fine.
You're 5-4.
You're in the playoff picture right now.
I mean, the thing that you're saying, like, about this guy Peterman, it's, you watch him every day at practice. You really thought he was playing better than Tyrod Taylor? The guy threw 6-14, 66 yards, and 5 interceptions. Tyrod Taylor comes in, he goes 15-25, 158, and throws a touchdown.
Yeah. A lot of this, if you watch the highlights, which I did, a lot of the interceptions were caused by pressure up front.
I don't care what it is.
Well,
unless it's tipped balls, I'd give him. But yeah, okay, the guy doesn't know what the hell's going on.
That's part of the decision. Is you look across the field and you go, who are we playing? We're playing the Chargers, who might have the best pass rush in the NFL. Does this guy deal well with pressure? Is he going to in his first NFL start? Maybe this isn't the time.
Maybe we keep in the guy that's got some legs under him.
Exactly, who can move?
It makes no sense. I mean, things were going wrong, and the coach was like, we need to change. Clearly.
That wasn't the opportunity for it.
That was not the change you needed. Everybody could have told you that. Like, you got blown out 54-24 to the Chargers. The Chargers couldn't score more than 20 points for like 8 weeks.
They put up a 50 burger on you. Yeah,
crazy.
Bad news for them. Denver continues to lose. I mentioned before that they fired Mike McCoy. They're just, Vance Joseph is just looking over his shoulder at this point. Yeah, he's a first-year head coach, right? Second year? First year?
It's going to be first year.
Who was there last year? Was Garrett Kubiak still there?
I thought it was Kubes.
The Kube Master.
Wasn't it Kubes? No, wasn't Kubes?
I want to say it was.
I thought it was Kubes.
Yeah, it is. The whole team fell apart because of one position. You can't get quarterback play. The defense starts to waver. They're not playing nearly as hard or as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything falls apart around it, and it's just a complete implosion. They lose to Cincinnati 20-17 last week. Elsewhere in the AFC, Jacksonville took care of business in Cleveland.
Barely,
yeah. The leading passer in that game, DeShone Kizer, with 179 yards. Way to go, Blake Bortles. Couldn't top 180. Way to fucking go. That guy's a winner.
Jesus. The Steelers beat the shit out of the Titans on Thursday night after complaining about Thursday night games.
Mariota had a rough go.
He did. It was a close game, and then the second half they just fell apart.
Yeah.
The Steelers kicked the crap out of them. The Lions eked it out against the Bears.
Whatever.
Which is nice for them. Ravens beat the shit out of the crappy Packers, so good thing Marty got out of there. Texans get a win over the Cardinals. They stay in the hunt, which is nice.
Yeah, Texans are hanging around. Just hanging around.
Somehow. Vikings beat up on the Rams, which is, I thought was going to be a closer game, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, we all thought when you got 2-7-2 teams coming in, you would have thought it'd be a closer game, but
yeah.
They always say defense beats offense, and Vikings got one hell of a defense. Case Keenum is playing
great.
Terrific. He's playing terrific football.
People are
calling for Bridgewater to come back in. It's like, not until this guy plays bad for 3 weeks in a row.
I know. It's crazy. They're in a good quarterback situation, finally. good for them finally being in a good quarterback situation. It's been a long time. I knew the Giants beat the Chiefs. I didn't know it was 12-9.
Yeah, it was a slow ass game.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Saints in a crazy comeback against the Redskins. That was a good game.
That was a great game. The Redskins are
just they get screwed.
They get screwed all the time.
They just get fucked. I think it's karma for their name or something.
Maybe it is. Good call. They on that final drive in regulation when they're going in, they're in field goal range. They're in the dome. They're at inside the 35-yard line, ready to kick a field goal. They drop back to pass. I think it was a penalty got called. It might have been a hold or something. And then they get a strip sack right afterwards. And it's just like, you were there. You were in range.
Yeah.
And you just cocked that shotgun and hit your big toe.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. So
great game. Saints are really good.
They're rolling. Surprised
their defense have been playing better than it did in that game. But a lot of people are saying Alvin Kamara would be rookie of the year. I think they're forgetting how good Kareem Hunt has been.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt was probably dominant. Top three in MVP considerations through the first month and a half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's way up there.
Yeah, no doubt. The Eagles versus Cowboys, everyone thought was going to be a really good game, and the Eagles just beat the shit out of them. That might be the end of the Cowboys. Well, the Cowboys are still 5-5, but that could put the nail in the coffin for them because it's a tight race over there for the wild card.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if I learned more about the Eagles or Dallas in this game.
I think I learned more about Dallas.
Well, we basically predicted it that as soon as you take out Ezekiel Elliott and Tyron Smith, that should be noted, that the offense falls apart.
You're screwed.
They're so dependent upon play action that when you don't have a credible play action threat in there, it just kind of goes away. Although I thought Alfred Morris played pretty damn well.
Absolutely. But yeah, they just kind of fell apart.
Philadelphia is a completely balanced team. They run the ball as well as any team in the NFL. They pressure the passer. They have a swarming secondary. Jim Schwartz should get a head coaching job next year for sure.
Defensive After coordinator defense, with the Eagles. Yeah,
defense is playing tremendous. They have they have talent all over the place, and they're playing to their potential. And then I didn't even mention Carson Wentz, who's arguably the MVP of the league right now, and he makes plays that he shouldn't be able to make. That's what great quarterbacks do.
Mm-hmm.
You watch Russell Wilson play, you watch Aaron Rodgers play, Brady, whoever it is, they make plays. Ben Roethlisberger with people hanging on him, he makes plays he shouldn't be able to make.
Yeah.
And that's on top of everything I just said, defense and running the ball wins games, and then you got a quarterback on top of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, they're number one in offense right now, and they are number seven in pretty much overall defense, which is so...
Reminds me of the Panthers from a couple of years ago when they went 15-1. It's like when you see those really complete teams.
Yeah, true. But they didn't win it.
It doesn't mean you're going to win the Super Bowl, but it means that at least in the regular season, you're going to be damn near unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then the last game of the weekend was the Atlanta Falcons going to Seattle.
Monday night.
And they won. Good for Atlanta.
Seattle is ravaged by injuries. Ravaged.
I mean, their playmakers are like, I feel like most of them are gone. And Russell Wilson, it's funny, my brother put money on that game, and he's like, he's like in awe of everything Russell Wilson. He's like, he couldn't have made, he should have been sacked over and over. How'd he make that throw? I'm like, dude, we've been watching this for like 4 or 5 years now. Why are you surprised?
I felt the exact same way last night.
Really?
I'm watching him going, how do you make that throw running full speed to your left across your body?
He does it all the time, though. I know how crazy it is.
It's incredible.
But that's what he does.
The way that he can sense everyone around him, he's got unbelievable, unmatched, really, awareness about who's surrounding him. And then just the contortions he can do with his body and how accurate he can be in the most difficult throws.
Yeah.
He is a top-notch quarterback. It's just everything around him, the running game doesn't exist there.
Yeah,
the defense as
because the offensive line is non-existent. I mean, their offense is essentially, we don't have an offensive line. They're going to rush us. Russell Wilson's going to do a couple twirls in the background somehow, avoid everybody, and just whip it to somebody as for scramble rules. That is their offense, and it scored 31 points.
Well, it's first read. If my first read isn't there, then we do scramble rules. That's really it. There's no progressions.
No, it's just...
They're fucked.
He just sprints out of the pocket, tries to get out, tries to not get killed, and whips it, and he's nasty at it.
And for some reason, they try to fix their running game by just retreading running backs in there. Oh, maybe this running back will do it. Oh, maybe this running back will do it. Do you understand they can't run through the whole defense?
Yeah, maybe it's the offensive line.
Maybe you need to block a guy or two or design something different. I don't know what you have to do, but it's not just give the ball to a different guy on the same exact play and just, oh, that guy couldn't get past the line of scrimmage either.
So,
but to their credit, that defense has lost a bunch of players. But they should be playing better than they are, especially that defensive line. There's no excuse for Michael Bennett not to be dominant.
Yeah. So moving on to this week.
We got matchups. Turkey Day.
Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. You got Turkey the Vikings at Lions. Probably the best game of the day by far. That's a good one. Playoff contentions, yeah. Divisional.
Divisional, it's a whole thing. Not many people, including myself, have seen Minnesota play very much this season, so I'm looking forward to that.
Or Detroit. I feel like I haven't seen them that much either.
No.
Chargers at Cowboys, definitely an interesting game. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out for either of them, but it's an interesting game.
I got to go with the Chargers in this one.
I'm going with the Chargers, definitely. And then the Giants at the Skins, bad game. Hopefully the Skins beat the shit out of them. The looks of it, best game might be the Bills at Chiefs.
Yeah, it could be, for sure.
I mean,
Bills and Chiefs, both teams who could really use a turnaround this week.
They really both need them.
5-5, 6-4. Chiefs have got to be kind of worried about the, depending on what happens with the Chargers on Thanksgiving, Chiefs have got to be worried about the direction things are going for them. They've lost four of the last five games.
The Giants loss, that was bad. That was like the nail in the coffin almost. Like a four-game slide, and then the last one is the lowly Giants who haven't beaten anybody. I mean, they got one win, but
the only thing I can say on the Chiefs' behalf is that the Giants were essentially a team with their backs against the wall. Everybody is calling for everyone's head on that team. Trade
True.
Eli, cut, move on, get rid of McAdoo,
True.
Clean house. Jerry Reese should go. So they were with their back against the wall, and they took out the Chiefs at home in New York. But still, the Chiefs got to win that game. They got to win it.
You got to win the game. Absolutely. Titans at Colts. Here we go, Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of the Bees. The Browns and the Bengals all suck.
That's of Ohio. Terrible.
A lot of divisional games this week. Bucks at Falcons. I mean, that's not really hold much. Maybe Fitzmagic's got something. Obviously, the Patriots and Dolphins. Bears at Philly. Philly should kick the crap out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Panthers at Jets. I mean, that's not much there. Seahawks at San Francisco. That's not much. Actually, Saints at Rams. I didn't see that one there listed. That's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, Rams with a real tough schedule these last 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing two very good teams, divisional winners or divisional leaders. The Saints, this will be a good test for their offense going against the Rams defense. The Aaron Donald, I can't believe he hasn't signed an extension yet. Are they just withholding money from him? Like, does he not want to play for them anymore?
I don't know what it is. They're kind of screwing him, though.
Aaron Donald is
maybe they're
playing
just
like a Hall of Famer right now.
Too far away in numbers, maybe? I don't know. Jacksonville goes to Arizona. They should beat the crap out of them. But you never know with Jacksonville. Broncos at Raiders. It's an interesting one. They both really, really, really need a win.
You think Paxton Lynch is healthy, or do they just have no faith in him?
I mean, no faith.
Do you think he's injured, or do they have no faith?
No faith.
He's got to get healthy at some point. I think you have to go back to Simeon, right?
Oh, I don't know why they haven't. Also, I was playing terrible.
I know Simeon was turning the ball over, but everyone knows when they walk on the field with Osweiler, you have no chance of winning.
No,
everyone knows that.
As I was just going to say, at least with Simeon, you have a chance.
Yeah, he's won games.
What's his name? Osweiler can't win a game.
Yeah.
Then Sunday night, you got the Packers at Steelers.
God damn
3 months ago, that would have
been
the best
game
of the year. But no.
Now we got to watch Brett Hundley bumble around out there and Mike McCarthy go, that's our quarterback. Well, get a better one. Get anyone.
This guy's terrible. I know. Sign someone off a fucking practice squad. Kaepernick, anybody. But
Kaepernick got signed.
No way.
He's in Arizona, right?
What?
I could have sworn he got signed, right?
Are you sure?
Yeah, but the Blaine Gabbert's been playing for them the last couple weeks.
He really got signed? Are you sure?
He is currently a free agent. Fuck. I thought he got signed.
Where'd you see that?
I thought I saw it on ESPN.com. I guess not. According to Wikipedia, he is a free agent, so I'm going to go ahead and say he's still a free agent. Shit.
No, yeah, there's nothing here about news. Well, there you go, Sean.
Oh, well, maybe he had a meeting with Arizona, and that's what it was, but yeah.
And then for the big Monday night stinker, the Texans at Ravens.
I have nothing to say about that game.
Neither do I. Anyways, so Patriots, Miami. Hopefully, we beat the crap out of them. You got anything else?
I don't know. Kind of rooting for Jerry Jones in his crusade against Goodell. Never thought I'd be on the same side as Jerry Jones on just about anything.
Yeah.
But
there you go.
I heard Goodell. Do you hear Goodell's salary demands? He wants $50 million, a private jet for the rest of his life, and health for insurance for the rest of his
private
life.
Private jet is so funny. Well, it's just a man's, dude. I mean, that's what you go high bringing it to the negotiation table.
Yeah, sure.
You don't walk to the table and go, well, I got $46 million for the last couple of years, and now my negotiation. I mean, how do you top that?
I love that he goes with health insurance on top of all. How much?
The jet is just ridiculous. It's like, dude, you're making $50 million. You could buy a jet.
I know. Well, you can also buy health insurance. How much is the most deluxe, expensive health insurance where you walk into the doctor's office, there's a masseuse there, you get a foot rub while you wait?
It's still like, within the thousands.
It's yeah, exactly.
It's you're not in the millions.
Well under $50,000 a year.
Probably.
For the best health insurance possible, you're getting 1,000 times that for your yearly salary.
Yeah.
$50 million.
Yeah, literally. I mean, you could buy a jet.
I think he's just kind of saying that.
They'll be like, you know, that was probably his wife being like, no, put this down. And then
we need something for the family.
Down. Yeah, put this one down. I want a jet. All right.
You know. All right, jet for me. What do you guys want? You want health insurance? Okay, let's do that.
Yeah. So, you know, $50 million is no. But yeah, you go to the negotiations. You don't want to. You want to go high. You start high and you meet somewhere in the middle.
He is getting paid as much as a third of an NFL team. Salary cap's at about $160.
I wonder what Troy Vincent gets paid.
I hope less than nothing.
Less than nothing? Yeah.
Less than nothing. Dude,
if Goodell's getting that much and he has, for him not to get pissed off at what Goodell's doing, he's got to be making $20-30 million.
I liked Troy Vincent as a football player when he was on the Eagles, particularly, not so much when he was with the Bills. But
well, you don't know about their personalities when they play.
I know. To see what he has become, some guy who lies for somebody else who lies, and Troy Vincent's like pudgy now, and I used to like him.
What was he? What did he even play?
He was a cornerback. The Eagles had these really good cornerbacks right around 2000. They had Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent. They were both 6'3 plus. So it was like the Seahawks before the Seahawks.
Well, I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, and they had Brian Dawkins in the secondary with that visor. Yep. Brian Dawkins was the shit.
Yeah.
And that was sick. Yeah, now Troy Vincent's just, he's a professional fib teller.
Well,
is that the most childish way I could wrap this thing up? Well, anyway, thank you guys for listening. Go Pats this weekend. Enjoy your turkey. Try to stay up for some of the games. And if not, go fuck yourself or just fuck the games. Play catch in your backyard. How about that? Let's go with that.
There you go.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Adios.
Bye.